face to face. Chom shel kli rishon. Okay, now we're getting into cooking with pats. And it's hat. So if it's a hat, kli rishon. So kli rishon means first pat. You're cooking the food on the stove, or it could be off the stove, but it was on the stove, on the fire, it got hot, and you took it off. It's still called kli rishon. It's considered the first keli, which is called cooking on Shabbos, and also on Shabbos Kalobes, it has a thing of cooking, and cooking is at the top level, it's full cooking. So shayat soled, but it has to be hot to the hands, that's around 110 degrees. Mevasha, it's cooking. Ve'osa kulo, goes completely through and through. Flavors go through and through the whole soup, the whole shalom, through and through the walls of the pot. Okay. Aval chom shel kli sheni. Now the second keli, which means a plate. You take the food out of the pot, and you put it into a plate. Okay, there's an enum mavasho. That's not called cooking. That's black and white Gemara in Hilchos Shabbos. Gemara on Shabbos. There's no cooking on Shabbos in a soup bowl. This cooking takes place in the pot. Kli rishon. Once the soup gets into a kli sheni, into a bowl, it's not. That's it. Cooking stops. You can put anything you want into that bowl. You don't have to worry about cooking on Shabbos. And then. So now, since it's not cooking, now what's the rule in terms of spreading flavors around? Some say there's no transfer of flavors whatsoever. Nothing. Some say it goes the thinnest possible layer, which is a klipa.
Say it's a full
bleep up? Yeah, I think so. I think there's a rash.
Yeah, we said, right? We said Tosfos says that it's not, and
then
Rashba says it's a full
bleep,
right?
Yeah, I think the Rashba says it's full, but he never got to the Shulchan Aruch. Kli sheni. Okay, the Rashba holds a kli sheni is mevash l'kula. Okay, it's cool. The Shulchan Aruch didn't even consider it. But I think that's right at the end comes out of the idea of the klipa. Rosh Hashanah, he only passes the most klipa. Okay, klipa, we find certain situations when you have a hot piece of food with a cold piece of food and they touch, so that the Gemara says they'll transfer klipa because it's a paradox. It's hot and cold, two things. So because it's you don't know if to consider this situation hot or cold, so they came up with this idea that it goes a very small amount, just klipa. Klipa means a very thin layer, thin as possible layer, because it's hot and cold. And they want to say that maybe klisheni is the same. Maybe klisheni doesn't have it in the bishul of cooking, so the full bli of a regular kli rishon won't be there, but it'll, because we have a hot and cold type of bliya, and also, by the way, the Gemara says if you use a knife, which is not kosher, to slaughter an animal, that'll also, by the neck, it'll create a very thin layer of bliya, kli klipa, because the neck is hot when you slice it. That's, it's not really hot in the sense that it's very hot, and it also creates a klipa. So there's certain things which are basically quasi-warm, quasi-hot, and they get that little layer of bliya. So they want to say that maybe klisheni is the same. They show me that there would be a bliya of kidei klipa. Yes?
Is kli shlishi derabanan? That even though kli sheni works, nevertheless, we still need kli shlishi, or is kli...
I don't know over here there's going to be any difference between sheni or shlishi. Whatever the rule of sheni would be, I'm guessing, I'm not sure, I think shlishi would be the same. So there are basically three possibilities on sheni, and I guess shlishi is the same. The main thing is rishon is full.
Yeah.
If you do rishon, it's complete. Going to sheni, splits, because we know Shani's not cooking on Shabbos, that we know. The question is, does Shani create any kind of transfer flavors, bliya? So one opinion says zero, it doesn't do anything. One opinion says it does klipa, the thin layer of transfer, and one opinion says it does kulo.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because
different temperatures do different things?
This temperature here is very hot, but it's cooling off because it's in a bowl. So the bowl is never on the stove. So the bowl, Shane, is cooling off the food. So that's what, it's hot, but in a process of cooling, but very quickly because of the bowl. So
because the bowl absorbs the heat.
Yeah, right.
The
bowl itself is cold when you start off it, right? The hot soup put into a cold bowl. As we're talking about. So when you have this cold, hot thing going hot, cold, that creates a confused situation. Because we know hot kli rishon is complete cooking, complete bliya. You know, completely cold, everything is cold, is zero. If you have some combination of hot with cold, that's where you get the confused state, and there's a whole big machlokas what to say. So kli sheni is hot cold because the food is very hot, but it's cooling off very fast, but the bowl which is in started off really cold. So that the Gemara says not called bishul on Shabbos. If you put anything else in there, you're not cooking on Shabbos. So I can put sugar into my tea. I don't have to worry about cooking the sugar. So on and so forth. If I have a bowl of soup, I can put noodles in there or salt it. I don't know about cooking, it's cliche. But in terms of transferring flavors, which is what we're concerned about, some say, who cares about cooking? It's not cooking, but it does transfer flavors because the food is very hot. And okay, it's cooling off, but right now, as this problem happened, it was hot. So it's cooler. It's like Rishon. Some say, it's zero, no bishul, no bliya, And some say it's a very thin layer of transfer, clear. That's it. And Shulchan Aruch only quotes, let's read it again. He quotes one first opinion, he says, Yeshomim Enu Mathud Lemavida, zero. It doesn't do anything. Yeshomim the Makamakum who Mathud Lemavida, Kadei Kliba. Some say it does a thin layer. He doesn't quote the opinion of Kulo, that does the whole thing. It's going to go complete. No, he doesn't pass for that. He doesn't even mention that as an option. He's only worrying about maybe Klipa or zero. So he says, the Chachila trying to get the Klipa. But the Eved Mutter Balu Klipa, if he didn't do it, it's also okay. But the Eved, Badocha Baal Masak. That's what he paskins. So the bottom line says basically it's mutter, it's zero, but the chatchila trying to get a klipa out of it, cut off a layer if you can. Okay.
Rabbi.
Yes.
Is the idea of kli rishon and kli sheni, like there's some, meaning is something a kli sheni because it's in a separate bowl or because it's or because it's detached from the source. I mean, I guess not for me. It's like, let's say you have a kli rishon that's attached to its source of heat, but then you take that kli rishon off its source of heat. Is it
still called a rishon?
It's still called a rishon. But then let's say it's in the kli sheni.
If you take the food out of the rishon and you transfer it to another container,
yeah,
that's called sheni.
And then, but then if you put the sheni on a source of heat,
yeah, you can make it a rishon.
Okay.
Sure.
So you need both. You need to be detached from the source and to be in a different, and to be in like a fresh cold.
And be from the mastana of cold. If you have a very hot soup plate, you take the soup from the pot and put it into this very hot soup plate. It's so hot you can't touch it.
That
won't be cliche-y because that hot bowl, let's say you have two pots, like my pot I'm cooking the soup and I have another pot which is on the stove and that second pot is really hot. I take it off the stove and I pour the soup from the first one to the second one and it's going from rishon to rishon, going from rishon to rishon, it's going to stay rishon. So it's only when the soup bowl is cold, and that's why. There's also another problem I just mentioned. There's a discussion in the poskim. We're not getting into it now, but if you use a ladle to dish the soup out of the pot to the bowl, are you now making the bowl a shlishi instead of a sheni? Because the ladle is a sheni and the bowl is a shlishi.
Right, what's a shlishi?
The next step. Right now there's no mention here that shlishi could be any different than sheni, so that's why I'm saying no, but in Hilchos Shabbos sometimes there might be different sheni and shlishi.
I mentioned it, just I was wondering if sheni was derabanan, like sheni does not work, but that's only derabanan, meaning lo deraisa for sure it would work.
This clip of the sheni, that's a deraisa or derabanan, I don't know. I don't say.
I don't know if the concept itself is a.
I don't know. I mean, in the case of a suffix, you would know whether. I don't know. Okay. Now, basically, the Rav went off into a Taisus. He spent a long time with the Taisus, something I'll go through with you also. About basically, there's another case which is not mentioned here, which is like in between Rishon and Sheni. You have your soup bowl, which is Kli Rishon, it was on the stove, hot, and I have a bowl. And let's say I have, and then and instead of using a ladle, I take the soup from the rishon and pour it into the sheni, direct. That's called irui, that's called pouring. Now, okay, once you stop pouring and the thing is sitting in the bowl, that's already sheni. it switched from, the soup became from Rishon to Sheni because I poured it out of the pot and now it's sitting in the bowl and it stopped pouring. So there's no connection to the first pot. So then there's no more Bishul at that point, and let's say that there's no Tarovas, the Evet. So if you put anything into the soup bowl, you don't have to worry about it getting cooked or picking up any flavors, because it's in a cliché, the soup bowl. But the issue which comes up in the Tosfos there, and it's also in the Shulchan Aruch, not here, but earlier, is what happens if something is going on while you're pouring. In other words, I'm pouring the soup out of the pot into the bowl. So as it's being poured, let's say in the bowl, I have something which is raw, it's Shabbos. I'm pouring hot soup into this bowl. And let's say in the bowl I have salt. Okay, I put salt first, and then pour the soup. So now I put salt into the pot on the stove. That's Kli Rishon. I'll be cooking the salt. But if the soup would be already in the bowl, it's Kli Sheni. I can put salt into the bowl because Kli Sheni is not Mavasha. So that's how we do this on Shabbos. We never put salt into the soup pot. But once the soup is in the bowl, I can add salt because Kli Sheni doesn't cook. But now I cook salt. Oh. So I can't put salt into the cooking pot. That would be cooking Kli Rishon with salt.
Oh, well, what if you have a cholent? But you take the cholent, like it was in the pot, cooked in the thing. You took it out, you put it on the, like on a table, like with the stuff to keep it from burning the table. And you notice, you taste and you notice, oh, it's not salty enough. Then you salt it. But it wasn't on the flame, it's still in the pot.
Kli Rishon, it's still called Kli Rishon off the flame. Since it's the original pot.
Very good to know. Does that trave up the pot, or does that...
It means you're guided in Malacha, cooking on Shabbos. You have a problem eating that food.
Yeah, anything, right? Not just salt.
Usually if you do the mezid, or even the shogeg,
you can't eat it. Does it wreck the pot? Like, does it change the status of it?
No, that would make it on Shabbos. You're not allowed to cook.
Okay, fine. So the food's wrecked.
Okay, now...
if it's anything, not just seer, right? Meaning if you add anything to a Kli Rishon.
Right, sure.
Okay.
Okay, now, so the issue is like this. If he has his bowl of soup, let's say Shabbos, and the salt in this plate, and he pours the soup into the salt, that's called Irui. So I consider Irui. So is he cooking the salt or not? Because the salt's sitting in the plate, and it's being... hit by hot liquid, which is coming in a stream from the original pot. So I consider this water, soup, hot soup, Kli Rishon, while it's being poured. Or do I say no, since it's left the pot and it's going into the bowl, it's already called Kli Sheni. So then it won't cook the salt. That's a big question. Irui, is Kli Rishon or Kli Sheni?
Oh, like if you have like the if you have croutons in your soup,
right?
First, so, and you take it straight from the Kli Rishon.
Right, you pour it on the croutons. Are you cooking them? Or is that Irui Kli Rishon? Was that Irui mean pouring the hot soup on them? An unbroken stream, is that called still being attached to the pot? So it's Kli Rishon level. So you're cooking those croutons, or do I say no, since it's being poured out of the pot, it's already like it's in the bowl, so now it's already Kli Sheni, and Kli Sheni does not cook. That's a question of Irui. Kli Rishon, Irui, Kli Sheni. That's a very long Tosfos discussion there, which the Rav did. So now this is in between Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni, and Irui case, where you pour things out while it's being poured and hit something, is that cooking or not? So that's what's going to be a Tarovas issue. I pour something, it turns out now to be kosher, and I pour it into a bowl, did I make the food over there not kosher? Because if it's Kli Rishon, everything in the bowl, which got hit by the stream of not kosher liquid, will become Kli Rishon. That's a complete bishul, a complete tarovas. If it's Kli Sheni, it's only a chumra of kedei klipa, but b'diavad, it's not do without anything. So... that's going to be the question of Irui in terms of Tarovas. Okay. So that's a big discussion.
So I guess you have a ladle. then that would work.
The ladle will help you a lot. The ladle will avoid this issue. Once you take the ladle out. Now, the ladle itself, some people claim, since you stuck it into the Kli Rishon, it becomes part of the Kli Rishon. Then pick it up, it's still Kli Rishon. So the ladle could be the Kli Rishon. Some say, no, it's not the original path. The ladle is Kli Sheni. Putting in the ladle adds another factor to this issue.
If you leave the ladle in the pot long enough, does it become a Kli Rishon?
Probably. I mean, if it's on the fire, I would guess so.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Okay, let's see this Tosfos. Let's see some of this. Okay, I gave you the sheets. I gave you the mother sheet. You have it there? Okay. It's page 190. Okay, and that piece of that sheets. Okay, let me give you some background and then we'll just read the Gemara a little bit. There's a din like this. There's a din, this is black, and this is Psukim in the Chumash. Take the other sheet. The other sheet that says, the Chumash sheet, is talking about cooking korbanos in Parashat Tzav, and it says, Kli Cheres, if you have an earthenware pot which you cook a carb in, you should break it. But if it's a metal pot, you scald it with hot water and rinse it with water. Okay, so this is called a special mitzvah in Kachim of Marika Ushtifa, that if you have a pot which you cook the carb in, and the Torah was giving you an opportunity to reuse the pot if you kasher it. Because if you just leave it alone, it's going to become a treif pot, because all korbanos become treif overnight, called nosa. So you cook the korban in this pot in the Beis HaMikdash. There's lots of korbanos being cooked in the Beis HaMikdash and being eaten there. And there's a metal pot. So if you just leave it overnight, it's going to make the pot treif, because the bliya, the absorption which got into the walls of the pot, overnight, the next morning, be no sar, it's going to be a carbon a day old, and comes up to eat. So in order to use this pot, again, have to kasher it. So you have to put it into a bigger pot of hot water, and let it boil, and then the flavor of the carbon will go out and become nullified in the hot water. And then when you take it out, that's called Marika, and then when you take this carbon pot out, you're going to rinse it out in cold water. That's called shtifa. It's a mitzvah marikul shtifa b'mayim. Okay. So now, and then, but however, this is only good in metal pots. And earthenware pots can never be kashered. Once they absorb anything, there's no way of getting that stuff out of the pot.
A
kli cheres. So therefore, it says break the pot. You can't possibly kasher the pot.
Right, so the case is if you have a korban in a pot, that's a leftover night, so it becomes no tar. And the...
So therefore, if it's an earthenware pot, you have to break it. There's no way of getting rid of that no tar. If it's a metal pot, do mariku shtifa. Put it into a bigger pot of hot water, pull the flavor out, make a bottle, and then rinse the carbon pot with cold water. Marika, hot water. Scalding, agala, and then shtifa.
So what does this have to do with?
Okay, well, see now. Okay, well, so let's see. So now I go back to the Gemara over there, page 190. So the Mishnah says like this: Echad should be shalbo, ve'echad she'iru l'tocha roteach. Echad kadoshim, echad kadoshim kalim, tunim riku shtifa. Whether you cook the carbon, kadoshim kadoshim, kadoshim kalim. Whether you cooked it, bishul bone, or iru l'tocha, or let's say you poured the hot soup of the carbon into this into this other pot, which was cold, let's say. So now that second pot needs Mariku Shtifa. So it's a black and white Mishnah that pouring out of a Kli Rishon into a Kli Sheni makes that Kli Sheni get an absorption. Okay, that's what the Mishnah says. Page 190. Echad shebishal bo ve'echad she'ira l'tocha roteach. Either bishal, ira means it poured out from the original pot into the second pot. The second pot was cold, but he poured it out so the stream hit it with an unbroken stream of hot carbon soup, hit that second pot inside. So that iri is going to make the second pot absorb it and then get it back into the nosar situation, and you have to do Mariku Shtifa by the next morning. You have to kasha that second pot, not just the first one, but also the second one. You do Mariku Shtifa. That's black and white Mishnah, that Irui creates a Bliya for the carbon. Okay?
Irui is just this?
This case of pouring, yeah.
So not scooping?
No, scooping, forget about, just pouring, right? Okay. Okay, so now let's look up at the Taisus on tap. Ira l'tocho roteach. Okay, now the Gemara discusses this a little bit. Let's look at the Gemara first. Tana Rabbanon, Asher Tevushal Bo. The Chumash said if you cook in a pot the carbon, Morak Yishut Ap Amayim. Any other Shabishal Bo, you're not only cooking. Ira l'tocho roteach menayim. If you pour hot carbon soup into the, how do you know you have to do the Mikru Shtipa? Tamiloma v'asher v'asher tevushal bo. There's an extra asher there in that pasuk. So that extra word asher is used as a drash. Now the Gemara says something very important for us. Bachama asked the kasha. Tolo ba'aba tanu ma'o. Let's say he had an oven, and in this oven he had a spit, and he put the carbon on the spit, and he did like a rotary, and he roasted the carbon in the oven. Now the carbon itself never touched the walls of the oven. It just was cooked, roasted inside the oven. And then you take it out, are you going to have to do a Mariku Shtifa on the oven? It's a bishul without a bliya. Because bliya always means something, the food touches the pot or the surface or the other food. Here it's not touching anything, it's roasting, because it's on a spit. And meanwhile the oven is roasting it, but the oven didn't absorb any flavor or anything. So he asked, Tolu ba'avatan or ma'u. What's the rule if you hang the carbon in the space of the oven and you roast it like that? A bishul believe the carbon. The Torah only caring about if you cook it in an oven or a pot, and there's a bliya and there's also absorption. That's when you have to do other Mariku Shtifa. Or duma bishul below bliya. Or maybe you have to do this even for cooking without any bliya. Maybe if you do Mariku Shtifa in a pot, an oven which had carbon cooked in it, but there was no absorption because they did a bishul. Maybe that's the mitzvah, just for bishul. Amarav v'tashema, it says in our Mishnah, echad shebishul bo, v'echad she'ir l'tocho, it says either bishul or irui. So since the Mishnah says here, you do it for irui, so we probably do it for this case also. Irui is not really bishul, and still you have to do it, so maybe you do it for this case with the oven. So the Gemara says, no, it's not a proof. Belua below bishul lokum aboyale. That case of irui, there's bliya. There's a very important line in the Gemara. Belua below bishul. That's a bliya without a bishul. If you pour the hot soup of the carbon into another pot, that second pot, we say, has to have a Mariku Shtifa. It has to go through a kashering process. That's bliya without a bishul. Because that's how the Lashon of the Mishnah says, echot she bishul bo, ve'echot she'iwa l'tocho. So the irui apparently is a bliya. I mean, things get absorbed into the second pot, but it's not a bishul. So that you need Mavikush Tifa. Kikim Aboyalon, Bishul below Balua. And my problem is that if you do a Bishul without a Balia. Okay, then the world goes into a discussion about this. It's not relevant to us. But what is relevant is that the Gemara has this expression that the Irui case, where you pour the hot water out of hot soup out of the first pot into the second pot, and the Mishnah says you do Mariku Shtif, you have to kasha the second pot in the base of Mikdash, that the Gemara calls a Bilua Bili Bishul, Bilia without a Bishul. Or maybe the Gemara, so what does the Gemara mean? Does the Gemara mean it's literally, it's not a Bishul at all? Or the Gemara is saying it's not the same level Bishul as regular Kli Rishon, it's an Irui, but it is a Bishul. It's a Bliya with a Bishul, but the word Bishul wasn't used for it because it's not the same kind of Bishul as Kli Rishon. Kli Rishon is a very powerful Bishul. This Irui is Bliya Bli Bishul. It doesn't have that level Bishul, but it is a Bishul. The question is, can you pour hot liquid on something else on Shabbos? Is this Gemara saying literally that pouring hot liquids is Bliya but no Bishul? Or is the Gemara just using more like a phraseology? There is Bishul, we'll call it level one Kli Rishon, and then there's another Bliya, Bli Bishul. There's a Bliya without the level one Bishul. It is also Bishul, pouring hot stuff from Kli Rishon into the Kli Sheni. That act of pouring, when it hits it, is also a Bliya with some level Bishul. Not that there's no Bishul at all. There is a Bishul, but it's not Bishul Kli Rishon.
It's a Kli 1.5.
It's Bliya, right. It's Bliya, Bishul, level 2. Okay.
So it sounds like there potentially might be a distinction here. That let's say, what would one be potentially Chayav? On Shabbat, let's say he had some cold meat in a pot of water, right, from before Shabbos, and by the time sometime then within Shabbos, it's been 24 hours, and then whatever there is absorbed the flavor, right, is that's Bliya, but is that going to be considered cooking, right? Is that a sort, like, is that person going to be over on cooking for letting that soak? Even though we kind of give it a quasi-din, you know, of, you know, potentially Bishul in the sense that there's a Bliya, but it's not the halachic sense of another malacha of Bishul.
Right. So we're raising here, I mean, this is like the Gemara source, is the whole question of the interaction between Bliya and Bishul. Are these things equivalent or are they really not? So the simple reading of the Gemara is that there is a Bliya without a Bishul. They're not equivalent. They're not the same. So you can have Bliya of Irui, and it's not called a Bishul. You can have a Bishul without a Bliya. So, but on the other hand, you could read the Gemara. It's a little bit forced, but you could read the Gemara to mean there's Bishul level 1 and Bishul level 2, and Bliya doesn't have the Bishul level 1, but it has a Bishul level 2. So there is a Bishul going on. Maybe not, it's the same exact, maybe this might be the reason why someone might say Kalei Klipa. It's a different level Bishul. It is a Bishul, but maybe not 100%. So maybe the Bliya is less. Or you could say the Bliya is also the same, but the Bishul itself is a little bit less intense. So, okay. So this issue which Tosfos takes up here, exactly this question. And then also there's the other thing which sort of like you're raising. We already learned that kavush kimavushna, that's something said for 24 hours in cold water, that creates bliya, like a bishul of kulo. Everything spreads. Would that be bishul on Shabbos? So, the answer is no, because apparently there's a, even if kavush is bishul for bliya, it's not bishul for Shabbos, because there's a bishul. There's a bishul of heat. Okay, that's the only bishul which makes someone chayav on Shabbos, hot cooking. And then there's a level of cooking which is cold cooking. Cold cooking, it's cooking but cold. So in other words, the food's getting prepared in some way, like it's sitting there for 24 hours and something. Clearly the food's flavors are changing. You know, we do this, the chefs do that. They'll pickle things for 24 hours.
I'll tell you another thing that they do nowadays. They have like cold brew coffee or tea where they put the coffee or tea. They don't cook it. They put it in cold water and let it seep for 24 hours to the same thing.
Exactly. So you have cold cooking. So hot cooking is necessary for Shabbos. What about Bliya? So in Bliya, there are three options. You could say Bliya has nothing to do with cooking. Sometimes cooking makes Bliya, but you could have Bliya without cooking. Or maybe the top level Bliya of Kulo is with cooking, with Bishul. But there's a lower level Bliya of Klipa, which happens without cooking. Or maybe Bliya needs cooking, so you have to have the exact same rules of cooking for Bliya. So all of this is what's at play at this point, after you read the Gemara there. It's at play, what exactly is the connection between Bliya and Bishul. The Gemara on face value seems to be saying that disconnected Bliya Bishul. Irui is a Bliya without a Bishul. So then I can presumably, you know, move over to Klisheni or Kavush, or lots of things, Malicha, lots of different situations, which maybe you say, oh, there's a Bliya, but is it Bishul? No, it's not a Bishul. So, or do I have to put them together? So that's what, basically, this is what the Rav was grappling with for, I don't know, I haven't spent a week on this, but I'm just going to go through it pretty, you know, not so great. Let's read the Tosfos a little bit here, on page 190. Okay, Yula Tofotef Menayin, Tamaloma Sheh Tuvushal Bo Yishov. It's from a pasuk that the Gemara learns out that the Irui gets the mitzvah of Mariku Shtifa, because it says Va'asher. Mekan Medakil Beinu Tam, the Irui Kikli Rishon, Midachashuv Merushon. The Beinu Tam says, this Gemara is telling me that Irui is Kli Rishon on Shabbos.
Irui makes Kli Rishon?
Yeah, it's cooking. It's a Kli Rishon level cooking. Oh, you pour hot onto something cold, like you pour that hot soup onto the salt, you're doing a full cooking.
Wow.
It's okay. A full cooking. Okay? Because the Gemara says it needs Mariku Shtifa, and it's in the Pasuk Va'asher Tavusha, above the word Va'asher. So he says it's obviously comes kind of cooking. So pouring hot liquid from a Kli Rishon onto something else is cooking in the first degree. So that's what he said, the Beit Matan. He says, Venira Taisus says, I think the Gemara here is against what he says. The Gemara says it's Bliya without a Bishul. How can you say it's a Bishul? The Gemara calls Irui Bliya without a Bishul. Mir Yeshloma, you could say Rabbi Natan is going to say, the Choshev Lei Belua below Bishul, Lefi She'enim is Bashul Machmas HaKli, the Bekli Achen is Bashul. The Gemara calls the Bliya without Bishul means it's not Bishul of the Kli Rishon, it's being cooked in the second Kli, because you're pouring the soup from the pot into the bowl, and the food, my salt, is in the bowl, so it's being cooked really in the second pot. Okay, the Bishul is coming from the first pot. So that the Gemara calls Bliya without Bishul. It's not regular Kli Rishon Bishul. It is a Bishul. It is a Bishul of Kli Rishon, but not the regular first degree, but maybe first degree reduced by a little bit. Because it's not directly in the first pot. It's being poured out of the first pot into this thing in the second container. So that's the Gemara calls Bliya below Bishul. It doesn't mean there's no Bishul, Rabbeinu Tam says. There's 100% Bishul going on in an Irui, 100%. If you do this on Shabbos, you're cooking 100%. The Gemara calls it Bliya below Bishul. It's not the first Bishul of Kli Rishon. It's a second level Bishul from the Kli Rishon. It is Bishul. It is Bishul. Bishul means Kli Rishon. It's not Kli Sheni. Kli Sheni, we know, is not a Bishul. But Kli Rishon, it is. But it's not one aleph. It's one aleph. It's a different level bishul of the kli of the bishul. That's the irui. But That's what Tosfos says. That's what Rabbeinu Tam says. And that's how he reads the Gemara.
Tosfos is Rabbeinu Tam, no?
No, not really. But he quotes here Machloket. He says Rabbeinu Shmuel, this other one, the Rashbam, I think it was Rabbeinu Tam's brother, Hoy Medagdik the Iri Kikli Sheni. He says, no, Iri is Kli Sheni. I the Gemara. Gemara is saying it's not Bishul. Bliya, Bli Bishul. It's a Kli Sheni. There's Bliya without Kli Rishon. Even if you call it a Kli Sheni. Modest non repairikin. It has been proofs. Okay. Okay, we can skip all of that because I don't want to get bogged down so much. Okay. Okay, now let me explain some other issue which is going on because this comes up. Maybe it's we'll read a little bit. When you have two pieces, both hat. Salads, both hats, and they touch one another, so there's a bliya, there's a transfer of back and forth. And I think I mentioned it's kadei netila, it's like a thumb level of transfer. So there's a thick amount. Not completely, it's not cooking with hot water, but it's cooking salads. So salads transfer kadei netila. Okay. Now, if you have a hot piece with a cold piece. That's a big issue in the Gemara Pesachim. What's going on with a hot piece with a cold piece? That's Machlokes Rav and Shmuel. So, Rav said, if you put a hot piece on it, it must like this, if they're side to side, the hot and the cold, okay, so I don't know, I'll do that. If one piece on top of the other piece is a Machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Rav says, you look at the top piece. Whatever the top piece is, that's going to determine whether this is called cold cooking or hot cooking. So if the top is cold, it's cold cooking. So it means cold cooking is no transfer of flavors. And Shabbos Mutter. That's if the top piece is hot. It's cold. Top piece is hot. Then it goes the other way. It is bishul, and it's considered cooking meats on Shabbos. The heat of the hot piece is considered like the fire, so to speak, and you're cooking the cold piece from the heat of the hot piece because the hot is on top of it, and there'll be a transfer of flavors. Because that you go, it's called ilah gova. The top piece determines the situation. Shmuel says the opposite. No, tetoy, the bottom piece.
Plain Shmuel.
He says, no, I look at the bottom piece. If the bottom is hot, this is called sli. This is called too hot. This is cooking of roasting meats together, and or bishul, whatever you want to call it. And if the bottom is cold, it's nothing. It's cold cooking. It's okay on Shabbos.
That seems to be Bidas, the machlokes between Rabbeinu.
Right, very good. Excellent.
Because
when you pour the hot water onto the salt, which is cold, so the issue is, right, so it's hot coming onto cold. So according to Rav, who looks at the top, I should say it's cooking because the top is hot.
Yeah,
it's from a Kirisha. According to Shmuel, who looks at the bottom, the salt on the bottom and the bowl that's in are cold, I should say it's cliché. You should say it's nothing. So how can there be machlokas to Rabbeinu Tam and the Rashbam about Irui if you have a machlokas Rav and Shmuel, which seems to be the same machloket? Rabbeinu Tam said pouring hot water out of a kli rishon into a cliché is bishul. Means he's looking at the top pot. Rashbam said if you pour hot water from the pot into the bowl, just cold, it's cliché. It was cliché. It's like Shmuel. So isn't the machlokes of Rabbeinu Tam and the Rashbam the same machlokes as Rav and Shmuel? And since we pass them like Shmuel, we look at the bottom piece, so then it should not be bishul. Right? Yeah.
Do we say though that there is a difference though between the cases of Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Shmuel and Rabbi Shmuel, in the sense that Rabbi Shmuel, I'm assuming, as I don't know the Gemara there, is talking about a case of Chatichot.
Right.
Whereas here's a case of a liquid.
Right. Exactly. That's the difference.
Yeah, I was going to say it seems. It doesn't seem like it could be like a regular liquid mixture, but then according to Rob, if you put in like croutons in a kli rishon, obviously that wouldn't be allowed. Well, croutons
right. Yes. And in the kli rishon itself, of course, that's cooking. The issue is pouring the liquid out of the rishon into the sheni, but it's in the process of.
Oh, it's like kind of like when it's in its independent stage.
In that stream, during the stream, it's in between Rishon and Sheni. Is that stream, and then it hits something, is that going to cook it?
What's the exact case of Rav?
Where's the Gemara? Talking about two pieces, like two hot a hot and a cold piece. If you have a hot piece with a cold piece of meat, do I call that bishul or not? If I put the hot piece on top of the cold piece, that whole piece going to get cooked by the hot piece. Rav says yes, and Shmuel says no.
We say there it's a what does Rav say even in that case? Is that a case of like bishul in the sense that it's kedei like tefach, or is it kedei?
Yeah, he says it's a full bishul of kedei natila of the tefach, whatever.
So meaning he still doesn't view it as a full bishul either.
Well, pieces never do, even hot and hot, are never going to do more than the tila, than that tefach. So,
here it's different though, because it's literally coming from the source of it.
Exactly.
Whether or not you argue, whether or not you need a kli or not, but it's still different on those in multiple senses.
Right. So this is why the Rashbam brings this up to support himself. He's claiming irui from a hot pot onto something cold is not a bishul, and it's not a bli, it's nothing. Because he's saying, and he says, let's not have a rice. Shmuel says, look at the bottom. You always have the bottom piece is cold, and you put a hot piece on top of it, Shmuel says, it's no bishul. No, it's not sli. That's who's the word sli. Sli has to do with cooking of pieces. Shmuel says it's not at sli. So if it's not at sli, I say that this hot stream coming out of the top pot into the cold bottom dish is also not a bishul. Just like it's not at sli, it's not a bishul. But the Rabbeinu Tam says, no, there's no comparison. And he says that later on in the Tosfos, he says, it's one thing to say that a piece on a piece, so the bottom piece, determines the state of the situation. So Shmuel says the bottom piece is cold, even though the hot piece is hot, the top piece is hot, I say it's not at sli, because cold, it's a cold situation, it's cold cooking, so it's okay. That's what Shmuel says, the bottom is cold. However, here it's coming out of a hot pot. The stream is coming from a hot pot. That hot pot was on the fire. So that's a different story, because hot liquids coming out of a kli rishon, I just think he says, now based upon the way this Gemara reads, the way I think it is, I think you're going to have to say it as a bishul, because bishul is more powerful in that sense than tzli. Tzli is a piece with a piece. So if the bottom piece is cold, that removes tzli, that removes this roasting meats together, because the hot piece gets very much affected by the cold piece, and that's not the way people are cooking anyway. And so therefore, Shmuel says, it's nothing. But that's not the same as hot liquid coming out of a pot, and that pot was originally on the fire. Okay, you can say the hot piece was all originally on the fire too, but it's completely detached. In other words, you took that hot piece off the fire and you put it detached from the fire completely onto the cold piece. So that's nothing, according to Shmuel. But the hot pot, pouring out of a hot pot, the hot liquid is attached. The hot liquid, even as it comes into that bottom plate, still being attached to the pot through the stream, and that pot is a kli rishon, is going to make this bottom of the stream as it hits the plate a kli rishon. And if the salt or whatever over there in the bottom is going to get cooked on Shabbos, or if there's something you're wrong about blia, there's going to be a blia, because it's different, the situation of rotev, hot liquid coming from a kli on the top is very different than being with a bishul problem, which if it is bishul, it's going to be kulo, it's going to be complete bishul. It's hot liquid from a pot. That has more power to overwhelm the bottom piece, or which is cold, the fact that it's coming from a very hot pot, now hot, live, connected stream, is going to make the impact of that with the bottom a full-fledged 100% bishul of a kli rishon. The iwi is going to become a kli rishon. It's more powerful than the tzli, one hot piece of meat sitting on top of a cold piece of meat. That just doesn't have the same power to continue the tzli. So the hot piece touching the cold piece cools everything off, and basically we say it's not a tzli. Either the iwi case, we say is a bishul, because in the iwi case I look at the hot pot on top. That's what the Rebbeinu Tam says.
Okay. In the Mishnah, Rav Shimon, says that no kashim kalim, it doesn't need shtifa and marika.
Okay, we're not dealing with that. We're not dealing with that.
Okay, fine.
That's just a kashim issue.
Yeah, I'm just
wondering. Let's not get off track.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Rabbi, so would Rav hold that? Even though, yeah, he still holds a bishul, but he still holds it's like a lower level of bishul?
Yeah. Like so it could be, it'll be only a kadei klipa bishul.
Oh, okay. But he still
holds it. Rav or Shmuel? Okay.
Rav.
No, Rav holds it's a full bishul of netila. However, the Gemara there says in Psachim that Shmuel, who disagrees and says it's not a bishul, it's not a tzli, does agree that it does create a klipa of tzli. If you put a hot piece of meat on a cold piece of meat, so Shmuel said it's cold, then he has all kinds of questions and so on. Finally, the Gemara says Shmuel agrees a little bit it does a klipa level. Hot on cold, according to Shmuel, is klipa. According to Rab, it's netila, which is a tefach, which is a much bigger amount. But Shmuel agrees a very tiny thin layer does get cooked between the hot and cold piece. Both directions. So if it would be trade, you'd be sending flavor up and down of a klipa, of a very thin amount. That the Gemara says, which is going to make it more complicated by us, by the iwi. So Rabbeinu Tam is saying that the iwi is such a powerful kind of process, it's mevasha like a kli rishon. That means it goes kulo. The Rashbam says no. Tatoi gova, the bottom is cold, so it doesn't do bishul kulo. But does the Rashbam agree that it will make a klipa? Because Shmuel said there's a klipa by tzli, hot on top of cold. So would the Rashbam say that there should be a klipa here also?
Does a klipa require anything halachically to remove that?
You have to slice it off if you can.
From the bowl?
Oh, so
I'm saying, what do you mean by it? I'm sorry, what do you mean?
Yes, so it means that a little thin layer of the bowl became trape, so you're going to have to kasher that bowl for that layer, that thin layer.
But in the context of meat, food.
You have to slice off, let it cool off, slice off. So the thing is that this is where you're getting into, there's a whole big thing. There's a long Tosfos here about this. So Tosfos at various places in this long discussion says he thinks, okay, even whatever you're going to say, but let it be a klipa, because Shmuel has a klipa by tzli, a hot piece on a cold piece. So if you do an iwi, So it's hot going into cold, so let there be a klipa of something going on in the food in the bottom. A klipa, if there's treif. However, not everybody, not the Rashbam, doesn't seem to say it so readily that there should be the klipa in the Iri case. It could be that he holds, maybe in the Tzli, in going to a reverse further, in the Tzli case, hot and cold, hot on top, cold on the bottom, creates a sore, very thin layer of transfer, a very thin layer of cooking. But in the Bishul case, with the Iri, since the bottom is cold, this is not normal cooking. People don't cook by pouring necessarily. People are cooking Kli Rishon. And then there's Kli Sheni, but the Iri is like nowhere in the midst. So the Iri could be, is weaker than even the Tzli, than the Iri, the zero. That's really the first. That's one of the opinions of the Rashbam, and then Rabbi Natan argues with him. Rabbi Natan says, according to you, you should have a klipa. And then at the end he says, okay, Tarsus at the end sort of ends off that there is a klipa in the Iri. But there is apparently a position that Iri should have zero, not even klipa. Because it wouldn't even have the klipa of the sleep, because since it's not at all bishul, so we call it klisheni, and when you have to have some level of bishul to have any belia. So by tzli, I say there's a bishul, there's a tzli of klipa, a thin layer had a tzli, but in the Irui, since we're dealing with liquids and pots, if we're saying it's not kli rishon, then it's klisheni. And klisheni is zero. That's the first opinion we just read in the Mechaba. Klisheni is not even klip, it's nothing. It doesn't have a trace of bishul, it's nothing.
In the case of the kind of kachin, are the kachin kalim cold? Or are they also
cold? No, all hot. These are cooked in the pot, all hot food.
Okay, fine.
And we're talking about soups.
You can get klipa even if it's already hot? According to that opinion that says there's no klipa, that's even if both foods are hot.
If both are hot, then we're not discussing. Iri is only one. The top is hot, the bottom is cold.
Okay.
That's the case we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Okay, you can stop here. I don't know if we're making minion, but.